guys, every time we get together, we get to be put in place, you know? And dads are kind of famous for that, right? Putting kids in their place, putting umpires in their place. My grandfather used to get kicked out of more games than anybody who was involved in the game. He was at most of my games, he was a spectator, and he would get booted. Our country is wonderful and beautiful and glorious as it is. It's been continually being put in its place. 155 years ago, we started to celebrate something because something really significantly bad happened. The good thing was is the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. The bad thing was is that in Texas, enslaved people weren't told that they were free. And there's a message there that I'm not even really going to get into, although there's many people who are free in Christ Jesus and they just don't know it or live it. And you get to share that with people. But there's a thing called Juneteenth, and so people, now it just became a federal holiday, but for 155 years it's been being celebrated by people in African American, Black, Hispanic, lots and lots of communities have recognized that they were free. And yet lots and lots has happened since then that has really done a lot to still hold people down. All kinds of people. People who are oppressing and people who are being oppressed have one thing in common. They're both oppressed. We need to be set free. And so I want to say that I thank God that Juneteenth has become something that more and more people are paying attention to. This has been going on for a long time. And some of my friends that are in the Black community are like, oh, okay, thanks. Now you've told us it's legal for us to do this. It's a federal holiday now. We've been celebrating this for 150 years. And people are like, well, you should be grateful. You know what? Can we just be mindful that when you know the good, you ought to do it, and you don't do it, that's sin. And when you know the good you're supposed to do and you do it, that's right. And you shouldn't expect a big round of applause for it. But when you live righteously, you're honoring your Father in heaven. We're going to get to that today. If this is your church home and you recognize that we are blessed to be a blessing, then give here and give generously. Give faithfully, but give generously as well, and you'll watch some really cool things happen. So I say often to people on Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. Is it? Is it a Happy Father's Day? And there's a lot of reasons why it isn't for people, and there's so many more reasons for some that it is. And so I hope that it's a Happy Father's Day for you. Let's talk about some dadisms, okay? Let's share a little bit of what I think Jimmy Fallon called dadvice, right? Like where you give some dadvice. What were some things your dad said that you remember? Zach, I will not call on you if you give a terrible answer. But what are some things you remember your dad saying and just over and over again? Like, I'm not made of money, right? That one is probably pretty significant for most people. Yeah, John?
Who told you life was fair? Okay.
Who told you that life is fair? Fair comes at the end of August or once a year, as I've heard it said. Yeah, Mandy.
I couldn't date until I was married.
She said that her daddy said you can't date until you're married. Hallelujah. Brilliant. Yes, Ellie.
Only people that start at the top are
well diggers. That's... Wow. Yes. Gosh, what else? Anybody? Don't take a wooden nickel. Gosh, oh my goodness. Never mind. I mean, I could say a few things. Yeah, Eric.
You don't know everything you think you do.
You don't know everything you think you do. My dad would say to me, are you blind in one eye and can't see out of the other? It's right there. And I'm like, what do you do with that? My mom saved a snake at her bit you. My dad went to just challenging my eyesight. So.
Whenever I'd ask him about something, he'd say, it's physics.
Whenever you'd ask something, he'd say,
it's physics.
Sean's dad would say, it's physics. I couldn't say that to my kids because I don't know what physics means.
He didn't either.
Zach, don't, they won't hear it online. They might hear it here. Go ahead.
You don't have to step in a bear trap to know that it hurts to step in a bear trap.
All right. Your dad sounds brilliant. You don't have to step into a bear trap to know that it hurts to step in a bear trap. Yeah, Casey. Say it again. Sorry. You have fruitcake written on your forehead. Did you look to see if it was there? Oh, heard it a lot. First few times. You guys, we're going to look at quite a few from our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, today in just a few verses. You're going to see, don't worry or don't be anxious. And that's one of those ones, right? Stop worrying. Like my dad would say that to me, and the first thing that would go through my mind is, right? I'm going to worry more. But why would he say not worry? Why would your dad tell you not to worry about something? He wants you to shut up. Let's just put that on the table, right? But let's go deeper. What was his heart? What was your dad's heart in telling you, don't worry, stop? What's that? You got what? I got you covered. I know what you need. Same, most importantly, with our Heavenly Father. We're learning how to love higher, and let's get to it. Matthew 6, 24 through 30. I'm going to 24 because last week we talked about these laying up treasures in heaven and all that. And so Jesus ended with this, you can't serve two masters. So we're going to start there, and we'll go through verse. I got verse 30 there. That's what I want to do. All right, here we go. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Who's your Lord? Therefore, remember what the therefore is there for. Since you can't serve two masters, therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not be anxious or don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. The birds are unemployed and eating well. Some of you are like, because they have the American government to take care of them. Nope. Their Heavenly Father. So your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Thank you, Lord. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? At the time this was written, they didn't understand some of the things that we understood. Now, God did, but the people who wrote this, they didn't understand that anxiety and worry actually takes away life, much less adds to it. So check this out. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, richest man ever, right, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Listen, Warren Wiersbe has a really cool saying. All of nature depends on God, and God never fails. Only mortal man depends on money, and money always fails. Part of the difference between us and the other of nature is that we're made in God's image, and we have choice, and we have really brutalized that. Our free will has run amok, but it also, like we prayed for earlier for your kid's dad, that free will would bring them back to God, which does. So for those of us who are saved, we thank God for free will. And we ask him for forgiveness how we've gone amok with it. But here's one of the dadisms that stood out to me. Oh, you of little faith. Do you know that this was said quite a few times? I have four examples of it, and they're all in the book of Matthew. So the fifth one, if you will, is the one we just read. But go really quick with me, just one chapter, two chapters down, to Matthew 8, 26. Jesus calms a storm, and everybody just kind of trips out before that, though. They're like, Lord, you want us to perish? Don't you care? Because do you remember what Jesus was doing? He's sleeping like a good dad, right? Just take a nap. How about a dadism? I'm not sleeping, I'm just resting my eyes. Jesus was sleeping. He was passed out in a storm. And so then they wake him up, and he says to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? They were in a storm that was going to kill them. Most of these guys were fishermen, and they understood storms, but they were freaked out. It was doozy, right? And here's the big deal. Jesus says, why do you have such small faith? How could he say that to them? Because he was with them. Why do you have such small faith? You've already seen me. And he goes on to give them more and more track record, but he says it again in Matthew 14, 31. Here, Jesus walks on the water, freaks everybody out. He says, take courage. It's I am. Don't worry about it. Peter says, if it's you, then tell me to get out there with you. And he says, come on, Pete, let's go. And Peter gets out and walks for a little bit, sees the wind, freaks out, takes his eyes off Jesus, and sinks. So Jesus reaches down and saves him because he's about to drown. He immediately, it says in verse 31, reached out, took hold of him, and then says to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? How many people had walked on water up to that point? Zero. That day, that night, there was two. The first one was Jesus. The second one was Peter. Jesus, the first one, says to him, why did you doubt? We might look at that and go, that's kind of harsh. No, he's perfect. He knows that we should actually trust him, especially after we've already done what he said we could do. Why are you doubting? Oh, you of little faith. Now, fast forward to 16:8. There's this debate going on about what Jesus meant in this teaching and talking about leaven. And leaven is symbolic of sin. You put a little bit of leaven in the bread and it makes all the bread rise, right? And so they began discussing it among themselves and they're like, oh, he's talking about this because we didn't bring any bread. Darn it, Jesus is hangry. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Why does he keep saying, oh, you of little faith? Anybody, I got one more for you, but why? Are we catching a theme here? Why does he keep saying that? Yeah.
Because they keep seeing these miracles, they keep forgetting that I got this hand.
Right. And another way to say that, John, is because they have little faith. Right? They struggle. Does that feel familiar? Your dad doesn't just say or didn't just say the same things over and over again because he didn't have any new material. You needed to hear it. And so does our Heavenly Father. Let's finish with this one. In Matthew 17:20. Jesus heals a boy with a demon. Nobody else could heal him. This is the one where he's like, look, only this kind can come out with prayer and fasting. Some translations don't have that in there, but here in verse 20, they're like, how come we couldn't cast it out? And he says, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Some of us are like, I've had a ton of faith in God, and I've never seen a physical mountain move. We've got a wonderful Hawaiian woman here. She's seen some mountains blow up, right? But they've never seen it move. But then we say, well, it was figurative, and maybe I've seen some of those things move. Yes, but Jesus was being straight up with these people, just like he's straight up with us. And so I want to bring you to the title of today's message. Father knows best, so don't worry. Don't worry. Father knows best, so trust him. Over and over again. He knows you have little faith. He didn't say to Peter, what's that, Peter? Bam! He helped him up. He knows that you and I struggle, and he calls us to have faith, not in us, not in our systems, not in our money, not in our clothing, not in our food, but in our Father. Happy Father's Day to God. Trust him. Don't worry. You can trust him. That's easy to say. It's hard to do. Again, my dad would say, stop worrying. What are you worried about? Don't worry. He'd also say, stop crying. That one was tough. You might as well have told me to stop bleeding when I was bleeding out, right? But he's saying, I got this. I got you. Let's go to Matthew 6, 31 through 32. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? How much time did you spend today getting your outfit picked out? Look, I'm just going to, just really quick. Online, we're going to do this. How many of you spent a minute or less figuring out what you were going to wear? How many of you spent 5 minutes or more figuring out what you're going to wear? How many of you picked out two or three outfits and went with a fourth one? I picked this outfit out on Friday. Talked myself out of it once this morning, went back to it, then realized it's going to be so hot, but I don't have time to try to make anything else work. I'm just going to do this. And most of you are like, you spent that much time on that? Look, he's like, stop worrying about your stuff. Stop worrying about your clothing. Listen to this. And this one ought to hit pretty hard for some of you right now. For the Gentiles, in this way, the pagans, those we would look at it now and say, those who don't know God, those who aren't in Christ, the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows what you need because he made you. I have this strong sense that had Adam and Eve not sinned in the garden, they and all of us by nature, by the first nature we were supposed to have, we would have been like the birds. We wouldn't have had to work hard. We know that part of the fall of man was that they had to toil just to eat. Your daddy, our daddy, wants to give us life and life more abundant and without us worrying about it. We do have to toil now. We have to work hard, but we don't have to worry. Dear friends, we choose to worry. Plain and simple, worry is a choice. It may be normal, but so is murder. So is divorce. So is child abuse. Just because something's normal doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean it's right. So I'll bring you back to the title of this message again. Your Father knows best, so don't worry. Verses 33 through 34, Jesus brings it home. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. It's got enough worries of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Word to Big Bird. You got enough trouble each day. You don't need to add it up. I love it. I mean, I love this mindset that people are like, I'm just taking one day at a time. Friend, you literally can't do it any differently. Meaning you want to, and we chew tomorrow's food, and we live tomorrow's worries, and that's just wrecking us. Trusting God, believing God, knowing that He's got it all figured out. I found myself wondering how to be able to not just land this, because Jesus just did, but then what does it mean for us to seek God's kingdom first? I could be a smart aleck and say, seek it first. But let's go. I want to give you a little something to think about. It means valuing and obeying Him and His ways. Here's another way to say it. You go to Him and His agenda first. Him and His agenda. But I want to be able to be with a woman or a man, and so I'm going to do things my way, but God loves me anyways, and so He'll still bless me. Yeah, He loves you, and He'll bless you, but He might bless you with discipline, like a good dad. First, you might have consequences for going about things your way. Indeed, you will. Well, I get so anxious, I just need to numb myself, so I numb myself with whatever. I know that God says I'm not to worry and I should come to Him and seek first His kingdom, but I'll seek His kingdom first when I'm a little buzzed or a little numb or a little richer or I have more in the bank or I have a better job. You know that Tony Evans is one of my favorite preachers. He's a doctor. He's this amazing teacher and preacher. His wife has passed away, but he still considers himself a husband, and he was for lots of years, and he's a great dad, and he's a wonderful grandfather, and I think he's a great grandfather now. He said this: for many Christians, God is like a spare tire. He's the one they run to when all else fails, rather than first. First would be some of you people that understand maintenance. Hey, let's go ahead and check the tire before we have to. I'm, like I said before, I'm 51 in July, and so I'm not there yet. I don't check all my stuff first. I end up paying for it. I go last resort. But I'm going to call you not to be like me when it comes to Jesus, okay? With me, with my tires, me, with my car. I want you to be like what our Heavenly Father says. Come to Him first. First, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else you need will be added. We're called to love higher. That starts with loving God first. With all that you have. And you desperately need Him for that. So if you seek His perspective first, His agenda first, you can say, I know my daddy has everything that I need. And a bunch of your wants, and He'll take care of you. Yeah, but my mom, I know this isn't Mother's Day, but I'm gonna shout out to my mom real quick. She'd say, yeah, but you sound like God's people all the way through time. Yeah, but you need food? You can't get food? I'm gonna give you food from heaven. Yeah, but could you throw some cinnamon in it next time? We need some meat. All right, I'm gonna give you so much meat, it's gonna come out your nostrils. Yeah, but it's just too much meat now. We thought you were gonna send us a conquering king. I did. He started as a baby. Yeah, but a baby? We're gonna get into a series. Amy, you'll be really happy about this because you've heard me talking about this forever. The next series we're going to have is Big Butts of the Bible. And there's a ton of yeah buts in there. And so I'm going to ask you something that I'm going to ask you then, right now. Are you about your butt or God's butt? And you're like, I don't want to, what? Moses, literally saw the backside of God, and his face glowed for a long time. It's like a glow worm. God's got it figured out. Brothers and sisters, today you will have a chance to honor him and glorify him. You're going to be late somewhere and you're going to be anxious and worried and you're going to drive accordingly. Or you take a step back. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to keep breathing. Everything's going to work out. God's got it figured out. You know, the worst thing that most people think can happen to them is death, either theirs or somebody else's. If you're in Christ, that's a step up. And that's our worst thing. Dear friends, we're good. We're covered. Father knows best. Just don't worry. Don't worry. Easier said than done. Well, then start working at it. I've got this really wonky knee. And they're like, look, physical therapy is going to help you. And I yabbed that for a little bit. But you know what's happening as I do the things that they're telling me to do? It's getting better. Sometimes you need surgery. Sometimes the therapy isn't quite working. Sometimes all the things of seeking first his kingdom, you don't have it all figured out, and so you have to ask for help. Ask somebody who's been down this path before. Ask somebody who actually goes to God's word on the regular and says, oh, I actually believe it, and I live it out. Tanya, if I may, I'll finish with a quick story about you. Her beloved husband, Benny, had a heart transplant. You guys familiar with what that means? Out with the old, in with the new. This woman had no clue what all was going to happen. Her and her amazing husband, Benny, just believed that God was going to provide over and over and over again. And they had to remember. And did you worry? Of course you did. Did you continually give it over to the Lord? I saw it firsthand. I still see it. How far is he on that heart now? 10 years. Don't worry. Your father knows best. God, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunities for us to trust you and believe you, seek you first. God, may we not seek you first so you give us what we want. I don't believe that's what you meant when you said that through Jesus. I think what you said is that we seek you first and everything else is added. Like, we've got you and that's all we need and you give us other things. You know that we need water. You know that we need food. You know that we need clothing. You know that we need shelter. Just like we talked about last week, Father, will you help us to be content with the simple rather than having to have such extravagant things? And yet, thank you for all the extravagance you've given us. God, I want to thank you that some of the coolest things that I ever heard from my dad weren't the goofy, funny, are you trying to heat the outside kind of things. There are things like, I love you, and I'm proud of you. Father, may we live to hear those words from you. Well done. God, I love you. Thanks for loving us first. May we live for you and be strong and courageous in doing so, starting today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.